I'm Adriana Bucci of Let's Get Your Shift Together, life coach empowering survivors of narcissistic abuse to heal, and you are listening to Cut to the Chase.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Cut to the Chase, episode 69. Now, I'm going to say the title of this podcast, and I don't really want anybody to kind of get offended by this, but, you know, when I was reaching out to our featured guest and I saw what she was doing out on Instagram, I just happened to drop a letter out of the title of this because I just thought it brought forth a little bit more of an impactful meaning, particularly, you know, during this particular moment in everyone's life and everything that's going on in society. And so I'm going to welcome everybody to episode 69, Let's Get Your Shit Together. That's right, people. I said, let's get your shit together. Now, they're going to go, Greg, you have come at us again with another crazy title. We really don't know where this is going to go, but we're going to hang on. And that's what I want everybody to do. I want everybody to hang on because the story today from our featured guest is something that, just looking at her body of work and looking at what she's gone through and tumultuous life that she's had, you know, prior to her adulthood, is something that I truly believe when you listen to her story today, you're going to completely understand why I dropped the F from shift to shit. And it's going to resonate with a lot of us because she is a true example of what you have to do to really draw the line and begin to move your life in a positive direction. And so without further ado, I'm going to kind of jump into a quote that I found today. And basically it says, getting your shit together requires a level of honesty you can't even imagine. There's nothing easy about realizing that you're the one that is being held back this whole time. And as you're being held back by yourself. You're being held back by your actions. You're being held back by your thoughts. And so today, our featured guest is a life coach based in Canada. She empowers her clients worldwide to heal from narcissistic abuse, emotional and mental abuse, toxic family dynamics, and the emotional and mental and physical pain that goes along with that. She has a Bachelor's of Arts degree in Environmental Health and Study, also a Mind-Body Fitness Coach certification, and a Professional Life Coach certification. She's been a coach since 2019 after undergoing her own dark nights of soul and transformation after a lifetime of narcissistic abuse and 4 years of struggling with chronic pain. She has truly been there in her life and decided to use her experience to help as many people as possible to recover. She honestly believes that no matter how much emotional abuse you have gone through, no matter how much physical chronic pain you're in, no matter how much you've been brainwashed as a child, you have the power to heal and transform all of those wounds. So after 4 years of chronic physical pain, she learned that healing was possible. Her journey with the chronic pain and decades of emotional and mental confusion because of the narcissistic personal abuse throughout her personal life, which led to her discovering her true passion for helping others. Foremost, her life believes, or should I say, she believes in something was wrong with her mentally, emotionally, and physically. And as a person, generally, her personality, she never really felt like she could truly relate with others. As a child, she had bad feelings of inadequacy early on, as far as she could remember back. She also had unconventional toxic family dynamics. These dynamics were up and down in a relationship, not only with her mother, but with others that completely alienated her from her father. And she felt as if there was a monster in her life. She realized that life sucked, mentally carried that through her adulthood until she made a life-changing discovery in 2014, which she had no idea at the time would completely change the course of her life. And without further ado, I am going to introduce our featured guest, Miss Adriana Bucci. Would you have any opening remarks?
Hi, wow. Thank you for having me here, first of all. And wow, you did a lot of great research there. You got that all bang on. I don't know what to say.
Sometimes I leave people speechless based on the intro, and I guess that says I'm doing a good job, right?
Yeah, you totally went to my website. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, we're delighted to have you. We're delighted to kind of jump into this conversation regarding Let's Get Your Shit Together. Of course, in the title of your overall mantra there on Instagram, it's really focused on Let's Get Your Shift Together, which, you know, as you begin to kind of express to our listeners today, what exactly does that mean when you say Let's Get Your Shift Together?
So it's a shift in a lot of things. It's a shift in the way that you think. Like, I don't want to call it a mindset shift because that's just so cliche, but it kind of is. But it's a shift towards the mindset of doing the inner work so that you can actually heal from whatever it is that you went through, no matter how, you know, emotionally abusive it was in your childhood, or, you know, whatever kind of childhood trauma you went through. Just having that shift in, you know, having that hope even is part of the shift, that, you know, healing's possible. And by doing the inner work, you can go from like extreme pain, whether that's physical, emotional, mental, or all of the above, to pain-free by putting in a lot of effort and work into that healing process.
Okay. Thank you. So, you know, one thing that there's a lot of, let's just call it buzz or press out there about narcissistic abuse. Mm-hmm. And I think in a lot of cases, people, they may know, they maybe they don't know, you know, in the context of trying to define, you know, that whole definition of narcissistic. And so, you know, for those that have gone through any type of narcissistic abuse, and maybe they're in a position of denial, or maybe they don't know, or maybe they're just trying to leave it, you know, in the past. I mean, can you help them resonate, you know, give them some notions of thoughts and ideas of helping them kind of identify whether or not they've gone through anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, the first sign of any kind of abuse really is confusion. So if you're finding yourself confused about the way somebody else treats you, and you find yourself, you know, collecting evidence of why you feel your feelings and things like that, that's a really big sign. And, you know, if the other person is always minimizing how you feel or gaslighting you, which basically, for anyone who doesn't know what gaslighting is, it's when they try to make you deny your reality. So something will have just happened and you call them out on it and they're like, I never said that, or I never did that. That didn't happen. You're crazy, all that kind of stuff. That's a sign that, you know, this person is emotionally or narcissistically abusing you. And a lot of the times we tend to go into denial, and I totally understand that, because I went into denial myself when I first found out that my mother was a narcissist back in 2014. And it's part of the process. I think it's normal to be in that state of denial. And if you're not ready to accept it, you know, maybe you need to go through that cycle of abuse one more time or two more times to really start making those shifts in your life and setting those boundaries and, you know, understanding that this is abuse and you don't need to put up with it regardless of the relationship that you have with the other person.
Sure. Well, you know, I want to kind of dive into your childhood a little bit and some of the things that you kind of endured and encountered. But before I do that, I want to kind of set the stage a little bit. You know, I grew up in the 70s, late 60s, And, you know, at least at the time when I grew up, you know, there was a level of respect for your parents and for your elders and for your family. And of course, you know, growing up in a small town in Mississippi, you know, to be honest with you, you know, there was a lot of things that dated back to sharecropping, slavery, and so forth and so on. And so there was all this notion of, you know, what I consider to be disciplinary action. And those disciplinary actions usually came with either, you know, if you got out of line, a belt or, you know, what they call a switch, which would be like a thin twig or something, you know, down the, you know, off a tree branch or something like that. And I can recall, you know, even in school, you know, if you got out of line for talking too much or something like that, you had this notion of they take you out in the hallway and you'd get paddled. Now, even growing up as a child, I thought these people were crazy, right? I mean, let's just call it what it is, because it's like, you know, you're beating me. What's going on? You know, and now we have this word of called, you know, narcissistic behavior. And it's something that I think as time goes on, there's a lot of people that, you know, when they look back on their past, they begin to realize that there are some things that are relatable. They were really life-changing moments in their lives. And I know for me, there was a lot of those because I was a kid that talked a lot when I was in school. I was very sociable, as they call it. You know, back then it wasn't a such word as sociable. But, you know, I guess the point that I want to kind of move this forward in with you is, you know, in your childhood, as you grew up, with your mom and your dad and other siblings in your life, you know, what were some of the things that really stood out to you that were really kind of not right, should I say?
Well, I didn't really grow up with anyone except for my mom and my grandparents. So Okay. That was already weird.
Okay. Understood.
Yeah. I didn't know any of my cousins really. And, you know, it wasn't until later that I realized that like the whole family, like my mother had basically alienated the whole family. Mm-hmm. So I don't really know any of my relatives on her side and, you know, mm-hmm. all that. I don't think I answered that well. Can you repeat the question again?
Well,
sorry.
Well, I guess, you know, the notion of just trying to decipher, you know, what was the reasoning behind the alienation, you know, what were some of the things that from a, let's just call it from a trauma or from an abuse standpoint that you were dealing with and trying to accept. I mean, one of the things you mentioned is the fact that you didn't have an opportunity to have any interaction with your mom's family. So you had cousins and other relatives out there that you were just unaware of. You didn't grow up with them. You didn't play with them. You didn't have any type of engagement with them. So I guess my question, going back to my original question, was, you know, how did that make you feel? I mean, obviously on your father's side of the family, did you have that same type of engagement, or was it totally opposite?
Oh, not at all. Like I didn't talk to my father's side either because I just thought he was an evil person. Mm-hmm. So my mom basically just fed me all these lies about him. So I really didn't know anyone on his side. I know them now. So, you know, we managed to reconnect and all that like decades later, but, you know, glad that it happened before it would be too late. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I didn't really recognize that it was weird or anything because, you know, it was just complete brainwashing as a kid. So I just thought everybody was just evil, kind of, you know, I thought my dad was evil. I thought like the cousins on my mom's side were just, you know, like I would see them every now and again and we would go over or whatever, but it wasn't like the typical, you see them every week or whatever. And a lot of them lived, you know, overseas in Italy. So I didn't really think much of it or that anything was wrong with them, but the people who like relatives that lived within Ontario, I did think it was a little strange that I didn't really know them. But basically it kind of turns out that everyone didn't really like my mother. Right. So that all makes sense now, obviously. And yeah, my mom's motive was to just make sure that the truth didn't come out to me about her motives and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, with my dad, it was like, She lied. She said he didn't pay for child support, all these terrible things. But meanwhile, she was actually like just pocketing all the money. So I thought I was abandoned and he left us penniless and all that kind of stuff. So it was just like all these different types of lies. But I really believed that she was this amazing, wonderful person and the whole world was just kind of against her. And she was just this massive victim and life was so unfair. But, you know, once I realized she was the cause of it, it was pretty eye-opening.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, certainly I can relate, you know, with regards to my own stories and struggles. Obviously not quite as similar as yours, but just the fact of being a father and being in a position to where when you're in a bad marriage and things don't work out, just the notion of how my ex, you know, at the time, you know, kind of talked to my kids, treated one kid better than the other, really downplayed the fact of who I was as a father. And like you said, you know, abandonment and all different types of things would come up. But at the end of the day, you know, that really wasn't the case. And so, you know, for me, I look back on that situation, you know, with all the things that, you know, I've discovered today in my own personal life and personal growth, and just realize that, you know, that type of behavior at the time was really unacceptable because, you know, we all go through situations in life where, you know, people just want to be treated equally. They just want to be treated fairly. You know, they want to have a right to speak or a right to say what's on their mind. And when you put them in an encapsulated bubble and you try and control every action, everything they see, everything they do, everything that they hear, you know, that's just over the top. You know, that's just very psychotic, you know, in a certain way. And so when my kids were old enough to realize, back to what, you know, your epiphany was, when my kids were old enough to realize, they realize exactly what they had gone through was borderline narcissistic behavior. And, you know, now the relationship has been rekindled and things are obviously moving in the right direction. But for that period of time, it was like I was always the bad guy. I was always the evil guy. I was always, you know, the dad that, you know, just kind of walked away from something that, you know, as she stated it back then, of course, she's not stating it now, is that I didn't want to fulfill my obligations, which, you know, in most cases was total BS, you know, mm-hmm. But certainly, you know, it just brings back so many different emotions when you start thinking and listening to other people's stories and how closely, you know, we actually relate to a lot of things that go on in other people's lives because of the significance of these things being so close, you know, in their similarities with life. And, you know, with that, you know, I wanted to kind of lead into the fact of basically saying when you discovered, you know, all of these things as we talked about regarding your mom, and you begin to kind of separate yourself from that and started your healing process, what was that like for you? I mean, what were the first steps that you began to take to kind of move your life in the right direction?
Well, honestly, I didn't know what healing was until a long time later. But, you know, essentially setting boundaries without knowing about healing was one of the biggest steps. So ultimately, at some point, I had to move out of her house. And, you know, I started realizing more and more that she had financially abused me as well. She actually financially handicapped me to the point where I was not able to move out until my mid to late 20s. And I actually took on debt for that purpose because I was so stressed out living with her that I figured, you know what? Let's take on the extra debt because I'd rather live in a cardboard box than here anymore. So that was one of the most significant steps that I took. And then I didn't start doing any healing work until like 3 years later because I just figured, you know, I was raised by a narcissistic mother. I'm scarred for life. And that's kind of it. And that was what I accepted for a very long time until 2019.
Wow. Wow. So during that period of you trying to get out of that relationship, or at least as you've identified it as separating yourself by putting boundaries in place, were you still, you know, engaging to a point with your mom, or were you engaging to a point But, you know, you would get, I guess you would get to a point to where you would kind of say, okay, enough's enough. I mean, you wouldn't allow for her to manipulate you, I'm assuming, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. It was very low contact. You know, at first, like when I first moved out in 2016, there was definitely still enmeshment there, but by 2017, like around a year later, I was planning my wedding and all that. So that was getting very stressful. And I just decided, you know what, like after the wedding, I'm going to set even more boundaries with her because this was just way too stressful. And, it turned into very low contact, some periods of no contact whatsoever. And eventually, you know, the guilt trips and all that kind of stuff. And mm-hmm. with her aging and nobody else being there, I wanted to just kind of monitor how she was doing so I could maybe call senior services to check in on her if I felt like she was, you know, starting to have signs of anything that she might need to, you know, be hospitalized for or whatever. Sure. But I didn't really, you know, take her very seriously or anything like that. And I tried to limit my conversations to 5 minutes tops. So it would be like Christmas, her birthday, and, you know, that was kind of it. And yeah, that wow. was it. Wow. It was so stressful because I would be panicking every time the phone would ring and her name would pop up.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, certainly it had a tremendous impact on you because you also suffered for 4 years with, you know, this chronic pain that you could never really diagnose. And could you walk us through some of that?
Mm-hmm. So it was diagnosed as TMJ dysfunction, which is the jaw joint just being mm-hmm. messed up. Mm-hmm. So that led to so many more issues. So, you know, I had migraines, neck pain, carpal tunnel syndrome, you know, just arm numbness, all this kind of stuff that was supposedly all originating from my jaw. Mm-hmm. And I just was losing my mind. So I started, this all started in 2015. So a year before I moved out, and I never made the connection that this had anything to do with my, you know, supposedly traumatic childhood, because I had no idea that I had even been through childhood trauma. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, the pain kept getting worse and worse and worse. And eventually I got shingles in my mouth, mm-hmm. which is not supposed to happen to a 30-year-old. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that led me to have trigeminal neuralgia. So it's just when the nerve on the side of your face is inflamed. It's called trigeminal neuralgia, and it was the shingles had affected that nerve. And I was doing this like splint therapy for my jaw at the same time. So I had braces, a splint, and shingles in my mouth all at the same time. Disaster. And I kind of reached the conclusion that I did not want to make it to my 40th birthday. So I was 30 at the time. It was October mm-hmm. of 2018 when the shingles came in. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't deal with it. Like I was in so much pain already from all the other crap I had to deal with the migraines and everything. And eventually in January 2019, I was just sort of mindlessly scrolling on Instagram or Facebook. And I found an ad for an app called Curable that said that it was going to help with chronic pain. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was going to maybe hypnotize me into believing that I wasn't in pain anymore or something like that. Like I really, you know, my hopes were not very high because I tried everything. I couldn't take painkillers anymore because I was starting to get ulcers. Like it was a complete disaster. Mm-hmm. It was a shit show. Mm-hmm. I was getting nerve block injections in my face. Like I tried all the things. And mm-hmm. I opened up this app and it's talking about Dr. Sarno. He's this doctor who coined the term tension myositis syndrome, which is, you know, fancy medical term for the mind-body syndrome, which in a nutshell is the fact that your repressed emotions from childhood trauma are the reason for the pain, and releasing these emotions is what makes the pain go away. I thought this was bogus.
Right.
But I was so desperate that I tried it and it worked. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So within 4 months I was completely pain-free, and you know, in a nutshell, that's kind of how I decided to become a life coach to begin with, because I was so impressed with the fact that I was no longer suffering daily from debilitating pain. Mm-hmm. And I was able to do normal things. I was able to go rock climbing. I was able to go for hikes. Like it was just unheard of that I could do the things anymore or again. And it was all a matter of like integrating all the things that I went through in my childhood. So not only did I heal from the pain, but I also healed from the narcissistic abuse, which I never realized was possible.
Right, right. Wow. What an interesting time period of your life mm-hmm. to have to endure all of those struggles and be on the verge of, and it sounds like you were probably, you know, on the edge of depression and everything else that was stacking up against you. And, you know, to carry that much weight on you is, you know, it not only internally, you know, impacts you, but, you know, psychologically, it really toys with you as well. And, you know, it can be a lot of burden to carry. And we're certainly glad that you're still around and you're really sharing to the world and putting these things out there to help people basically heal. And, you know, the other prop that I want to give you is the fact that I don't think anybody else has called their mom a monster except for Eminem. And, you know, we all know who he is. He's a famous rapper. but no pun intended there. I mean, we respect the fact of everything that you've gone through and all the life changing and all the discoveries that you've done, that you've completed. And, you know, it's very important, you know, nowadays as things continue to be discovered about people's past and all of the things that people have kind of buried in the back of their mind under lock and key. And really, they kind of say to themselves, I don't want to open up Pandora's box because I'm afraid, you know, these types of terms such as narcissistic abuse and mental abuse and toxic family dynamics, you know, all these things now are really starting to come to the forefront. Mm-hmm. And, you know, overall, as a life coach for you, do you see that these terms coming to life in the media forefront, are they putting us as a society, from your own, you know, opinion, in a much better place to be able to heal? Or do you think that down the road, you know, we may be dealing with something a little bit different from all of this push to get people's mindset and thoughtfulness and all of these different things focused in on the positive and the greater good? What are your thoughts around that?
That's a very loaded question. I think, like, just the awareness about narcissistic abuse in general being out there is not a bad thing. Mm-hmm. I think the more awareness that's there, the better, because without, you know, no one learns about this. No one learns what manipulation tactics are in school or anything like that. And mm-hmm. if it's something you've grown up with, you think it's normal and you're conditioned to believe that the way that narcissists treat you are completely normal. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, not being aware of that is definitely not a good thing. So the more info that's out there, the better. But, you know, to talk about the coaching industry and, like, the focus on staying positive and all that kind of stuff, I mean, there's definitely a layer of toxic positivity there.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, the more we just brush everything under the rug and only acknowledge positive things, you don't really give yourself a chance to heal from the crap that you have been through in the past. And it's important Correct. To bring that to light in order to let it go. And if you keep it buried inside, it's not going to go anywhere.
Right, right. And I guess, you know, from a perspective of listening to your point of view, you know, we totally agree, because, you know, you can put so much positivity out there and eventually that becomes, you know, a almost a narcissistic behavior in itself, because of the simple fact that you're asking people just to kind of move forward in a positive way without even considering the torment or the lessons learned or the setbacks or all of these things that basically make them who they are today. And, you know, I just wanted to kind of emphasize that, because of the simple fact that we have to be careful, you know, in life as we move forward. I mean, all of these things do exist. There are remedies, there are proper methods, tools, coaching, and various things that are out there to support us. But also in the same aspect, we have to be able to critically think through the things that allow for us to quantify our ability to heal, you know, because if you don't, you really don't take the lesson that you've learned from the past and be able to not repeat that lesson again in the future, you know? So those are just things that I kind of look at. So Adriana, we're almost out of time. And basically, I want to give you an opportunity for IE final remarks, any takeaways you'd like to leave for our listeners. I'd also like for you to explain for those that are looking to get in contact with you, maybe for some of your coaching expertise or counseling or whatever the case may be, how would they go about doing that?
Sure. So final remarks, if you are on the receiving end of narcissistic abuse, I will leave you with, you are not crazy. You mm-hmm. are definitely observing what you are observing. And, you know, the narcissist is probably trying to gaslight you so that they can avoid any accountability. They're not going to take accountability. And you need to sort of accept that this is who they are and you cannot change them. The only mm-hmm. thing that you can change is yourself and who you allow into your life and what boundaries you set. And it's obviously easier said than done. So doing inner work is obviously going to be a very good way to keep the boundaries and sure. not just set them mm-hmm. and also heal from those wounds, that emotional pain and physical pain, because chances are if you've been through narcissistic abuse, especially in childhood, you might have some kind of chronic pain, and it might not be as severe as what I went through, but you know, if you're waking up with stiff joints every morning, it's not because your body is broken. It's, you know, there's more to pain science than sleeping on the wrong pillow or whatever it is that we think is causing our bodies to break. So I would encourage anyone who is dealing with any of that to look into the mind-body connection and, you know, just be open to it. And if anyone is interested in my coaching services, so it is coaching, it's not counseling, it's not therapy, it's coaching. You can find me on Instagram at Let's Get Your Shift Together, all one word, shift with an F. And my website's also letsgetyourshifttogether.com. So you can contact me through either mediums. And I look forward to working with you if you do plan on going with coaching.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We certainly appreciate having you on the program and you sharing your story with us. And I'd like to just kind of end with a quote that kind of summarizes a little bit about what we've talked about. And it basically starts out like this. You know, it's time to change your life around when you start to get frustrated and disappointed with yourself. And so to all of our listeners and to our featured guest, Adriana, thank you very much. This has been episode 69. Let's get your shit together. Thank you very much, people. Be safe and God bless.